Textron will acquire another aerospace company. Angel Flight of South Central splits from Air Charity Network. And Delta names a new VP to oversee Delta Connection. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, October 10th, 2007. Textron, the parent company of Cessna, Bell Helicopter, Lycoming, and other aerospace manufacturers, plans to bring United Industrial Corporation under its roof. UIC's principal operating subsidiary, AAI Corporation, designs, produces, and supports aerospace and defense systems, including unmanned aircraft systems for the U.S. military, prime contractors, and allied nations. UIC says Textron will acquire all its outstanding shares of common stock for $81 per share in cash by way of a tender offer, merge an existing Textron subsidiary into UIC, then wind up with UIC surviving the merger as a wholly owned subsidiary of Textron. The tender offer is expected next week, with closing by year's end. The acquisition is expected to be worth about $1.1 billion at closing. As ANN has reported, Textron's Cessna subsidiary signed a letter of intent to purchase bankrupt Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing late last month. Hinting at friction over fees and geographical territories, the board of Angel Flight South Central and Grace Flight of America has announced a split with the Air Charity Network, formerly known as Angel Flight of America. Angel Flight South Central Chairman Butch Smith said the decision followed prolonged thought, careful planning, and a thoughtful review of goals. Quote, "It is important to note that we will continue to utilize and vigorously defend our name, Angel Flight, in Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, Oklahoma, and New Mexico. As we enter new states and in our national media efforts, Grace Flight will represent the charitable efforts of our pilots and patrons and will be the name our patients and passengers come to know," unquote. Smith says further that Grace Flight will allow pilots to accept missions anywhere, standardize pilot applications, provide a centralized computer listing of all missions, and support pilots with fuel discounts and rebates. Elections are to be held during the Grace Flight and AFSC Annual General Meeting and State Wing Convention this Saturday, October 13th, at the Intercontinental Hotel in Addison, Texas. Smith calls this an exciting time for volunteers. Quote, "Expansion into new territories will come as quickly as the organization can manage, but expect a Southwest Airlines-style gradual and measured growth," unquote. Delta Airlines has announced that Don Bornhorst has been named Senior Vice President for Delta Connection, effective this coming Monday. Bornhorst is a 16-year industry veteran and most recently served as president of Delta subsidiary Comair. Joe Kolchak, Delta's Executive Vice President of Operations, says Bornhorst will be key in improving Delta Connection's customer experience. Quote, "Don is a proven leader with the background, focus, and determination needed to unify the Delta Connection brand and improve service to a level that meets or exceeds our customers' expectations," unquote. The 42-year-old Bornhorst had two opportunities to prove his leadership immediately after being named Comair's president in May of 2006, labor unrest following Comair's Chapter 11 bankruptcy, and the August 2006 takeoff crash of Comair 5191 in Lexington, Kentucky. Bornhorst will be succeeded at Comair by industry veteran and former Delta exec John Salvaggio. Salvaggio most recently served as the head of Delta's now-defunct low-cost unit, Song, and prior to that he served as senior VP for Delta's Airport Customer Service Division. J.D. Power & Associates is best known for automotive quality surveys, but the company actually surveys consumers about their experiences with lots of things, including airports. In a May survey of more than 10,000 frequent business travelers, J.D. Power found many frequent flyers prefer using small airports to using major airport hubs. The company's Jim Gass told USA Today, quote, "Small airports may not have all the services and amenities travelers desire, but they are convenient," unquote. Travelers told the survey company they liked the less congested traffic, less expensive parking, more convenient rental car facilities, and faster delivery of checked bags at small airports. For the second year in a row, Houston Hobby Airport was ranked number one among small airports in the survey. The airport was recently renovated, has new stores and restaurants, plays soothing music in the terminal, and even has an outdoor walking and fitness trail. Up next on ANN, the FAA keeps its rule against cell phone use on airliners. 10 victims have been recovered from a crash site in Washington State. And the West Coast's last great glider port will be blocked by a new dormitory tower. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 10th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. For years, the use of mobile phones on airliners has been banned in the U.S. The reason, originally, was concern that the phone's transmitters could cause interference with navigational and communications radios on the planes. Now that technology has arrived to solve that problem, the FAA has been considering lifting the cell phone ban on flights. The public outcry, though, has been so great that the FAA has cried uncle. The UK's Telegraph Travel says it was told by the FAA's lessor that the proposal to lift the ban on in-flight mobiles caused such an outcry that it's been dropped. Telegraph Travel reports its own survey has received more than 3,000 letters and emails of support for keeping the ban in the UK. A majority of signatories on the petition even said they would boycott any plane that provided such technology. Many respondents cited irritation at being forced to listen to the phone conversations of fellow passengers, but there's also concern in the UK about reports that the 2004 Madrid train bombings used cell phones as remote detonator controls. Local authorities announced late Tuesday afternoon that all bodies have now been recovered from the crash site of a Caravan 208B, which went down in Washington State Sunday night. On board were 9 skydivers and a pilot, who had been returning to Shelton, Washington from a weekend skydiving meet in Idaho. As ANN has reported, a witness who'd been hunting near White Pass in the Cascade Mountains told authorities he saw the plane flying low, then heard the sound of the crash. That location corresponded to the plane's last radar contact. Searchers found the wreckage on Monday and stayed on the scene overnight to preserve the site until investigators could arrive. On Tuesday afternoon, families of the victims were gathered about a mile from the crash site to watch as helicopters retrieve the last of the bodies and personal effects. Yakima County Sheriff Ken Irwin told reporters the debris suggests the aircraft impacted the mountainside in a steep nosedive. Jim Hall, director of Yakima Valley Emergency Management, said, quote, "I'm told it was a horrific sight and the airplane crashed at a fairly high speed," unquote. San Diego's Torrey Pines Glider Port, a mecca for serious glider pilots for decades, is threatened by a new 14-story dormitory about to be erected by the University of California, San Diego. The dorm tower will block gliders from approaching from the east to land on the top of the bluff that overlooks the Pacific Ocean. That's the approach favored when winds exceed 20 knots. The Torrey Pines bluffs have been used by glider enthusiasts since the 1920s. The Torrey Pines Glider Port is one of 2 flight parks in the country listed on the National Register of Historic Places. Bruce Coons of the Save Our Heritage organization told the San Diego Union-Tribune that of what were once about 10 West Coast glider ports, development has wiped out all but Torrey Pines. The university held an official groundbreaking last week for its $122 million building, which it plans to open for the 2009 school year. School officials say it's too late in the process to consider other locations, but critics are attacking the university's failure to file an environmental impact statement before moving forward. San Diego's small sailplane community has enlisted support from some prominent politicians and historians, so it's too early to say the fight is really over. A Czech-designed LET-410, operated for Colombia's military by the privately owned company Nacional de Aviación, went missing Monday afternoon while carrying 15 soldiers and three civilian crew members to a rebel-dominated area in southern Colombia. The Associated Press reported that the flight departed an army base in the western city of Villavicencio, bound for the rural outpost Uribe, when it disappeared. A Colombian army source said four military search aircraft carrying paramedics set out Tuesday morning after having been grounded Monday night by bad weather. There's no word so far. Still ahead, NASA honors pioneers of manned spaceflight. The Doolittle Raiders invert another goblet. And U.S. agents want to sedate a deportee. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, October 10th, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. Over the weekend, at Saturday's Purdue-Ohio State football game, the widow of NASA astronaut Naval Lieutenant Commander Roger B. Chaffee accepted NASA's Ambassador of Exploration Award on behalf of her late husband. Roger Chaffee, along with crewmates Gus Grissom and Ed White, died in a launch pad fire aboard what was to have been the first manned Apollo flight in January 1967. Martha Chaffee accepted the award on behalf of her late husband and presented it for display at Purdue University, where Roger Chaffee earned his Bachelor of Science degree in Aeronautical Engineering in 1957. He entered the Navy that same year and was part of the third group of astronauts selected by NASA in October of 1963. Chaffee had already been posthumously awarded the Congressional Space Medal of Honor and the United States Navy Air Medal. NASA is giving the Ambassador of Exploration Award to the first generation of explorers in the Mercury, Gemini, and Apollo space programs for realizing America's vision of going to the moon. The award is a moon rock encased in lucite and mounted for public display as inspiration to a new generation of explorers who will help us return humans to the moon and eventually onto Mars and beyond. The rock encased in the award came from the 842 pounds of samples collected during six Apollo lunar expeditions between 1969 and 1972. Another of the Doolittle Raiders has passed away. Major Nolan Herndon of Edgefield, South Carolina, was 88 years old and the last remaining Raider from his state. Columbia, South Carolina newspaper The State reported Tuesday that Herndon died of pneumonia at the Dorn VA hospital. The Doolittle Raid on Tokyo, 4 months after Pearl Harbor, included 80 volunteers who flew 16 heavy Army B-25 bombers from a Navy aircraft carrier and bombed Japanese military targets. It marked the first time in military history bombers had operated from a carrier and, while not a crippling blow to Japan's war machine, proved an important turning point for U.S. public morale in the war. Major Herndon's plane and crew have been a controversial mystery in the years since the raid on April 18th of 1942. Unlike the others which crashed in China, Herndon, who was a navigator, bombardier, and gunner, and his pilot and co-pilot, headed instead for the Soviet Union, supposedly then an ally of the U.S. The Soviets, who had maintained diplomatic relations with Japan up to that point, had refused a U.S. request for all the planes to land there. Herndon maintained that the other two men on his plane were last-minute substitutions, intelligence agents being intentionally diverted in a test of the Soviets' resolve as allies of the U.S. The three men were imprisoned after they landed, but escaped after a year. For his valor, Herndon received the Distinguished Flying Cross. There are now only 12 surviving members of the Doolittle Raiders. Those who are able gather each year for a toast, as they have most years since 1946. At this year's gathering, Major Nolan Herndon's ceremonial silver goblet will join 67 others which have been inverted, marking the passing of their namesakes. An Albanian national who has exhausted his appeals to gain political asylum in the U.S. has been ordered deported, but 32-year-old Rustem Niza isn't going quietly. The AP reports that in August, federal agents attempted to put Niza on a plane at Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, but he resisted and shouted so much that airline representatives would not allow him to board. For their next try, they want to sedate him. Immigration and Customs Enforcement says sedation of deportees is rare, but not unprecedented. Nease's lawyer, John Wheat Gibson, says he'll oppose the sedation request. Gibson tells AP Nease's life is in danger after he revealed the names of men he had said killed a dissident. Of the sedation, Gibson remarks, quote, Mr. Nease will get off the airplane in Albania, too drugged to run from the killers who will be waiting, unquote. Finally, the Washington Post is reporting that attendees at a recent anti-war rally in Washington, D.C., believe they may have seen top-secret, high-tech, highly miniaturized flying robots sent by the government to spy on them during the rally. One college senior said they looked like dragonflies or little helicopters. They've also been spotted at protests in New York. Others who saw the tiny flying shapes say they actually were dragonflies. Unmanned aerial vehicles are big news in the U.S. military right now, but the key word is big. No government agency admits to having insect-sized UAVs, but that doesn't necessarily mean they'd tell us if they did. Tom Erhard of the Washington, D.C.-based Center for Strategic and Budgetary Assessments, he's a retired Air Force colonel and expert in unmanned aerial vehicles, told the Post, quote, America can be pretty sneaky, unquote. Gary Anderson of the Defense Department's Rapid Reaction Technology Office would say only, quote, if you find something, let me know, unquote. Doesn't exactly sound like a denial to me. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Sam Miller, who spent more than three decades analyzing the true costs of various forms of aircraft ownership. And if you haven't done so already, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.